Stories about the bright side of education.
Somos Sunnyside.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. Another special guest here today. We have an elementary principal, the principal of Esperanza Elementary, Michelle Gottlieber. Welcome, Michelle. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you. I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Just getting over our Thanksgiving break. You know, I wanted to make sure that our listeners, that they hear this from us. I hope that they had a happy Thanksgiving, a relaxing Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I have days off, you enjoy them. And then something about me, it's just I'm wired differently. To me, I was ready to come back to work. I think for me, it's when there's too much time, I start thinking about work and I just want to get back at it. And so I'm hoping you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm not sure if you spent it here or
spend it here. So moving away from home, my first Thanksgiving when I had to cook, I called my mom and I said, I'm sorry. I did not appreciate everything you did when I would complain about having to do the dishes at the end of the night after you cooked all day. And so I did cook for my family. It's just the three of us and there's still turkey and my daughter's refusing to eat any more of it. And I'm a little over it too. Yeah.
So leftovers are, I think everybody's fed up with leftovers after about two or three days, right? You can only do so much with turkey sandwiches, absolutely, turkey tacos and turkey and eggs. And I don't know what other recipes people are throwing out there. I know we try to have this rule in our house, like whatever you bring, you leave with. So we tell family, please take it. And it just, they never listen to us. All those leftovers stay at our house you know, you end up throwing a bunch of stuff out or the dog ends up eating it. So
I'm going to have to bring you my leftovers for your dog.
Yeah, I have a little dog, so okay. I don't know if he could handle all that. So, well, lots to talk about. We want to definitely talk about your pathway, your career path, your experiences here in the community, here in Sunnyside. And so tell us a little bit about your upbringing and where you were born, where you were raised, and how did you land in Tucson, Arizona?
It's a really long story that could take the whole podcast, so I'll keep it short. I actually grew up in a border town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So my hometown is Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and it's the last exit before you get to Canada, the international border. So that's where I'm originally from. My husband and I, we went to school at Central Michigan, and that's where we earned our degree from. And we had a contact.
Is that the Broncos?
No, that's Western. We're Central. Western. Don't get us wrong. That's like ASU, U of A.
That's like the rivalry, right?
Yeah, we're the Chips. So had a contact that actually was the superintendent out in Sells, and we were getting married, and 20 years ago teaching jobs were really hard to come by in the state of Michigan. So we had a contact out here and we got married in June, and we went on our honeymoon and came back, packed up, and we drove out to Tucson. We had never been to the to the Southwest before, and it's been a great experience. We actually lived and worked in Sells our first year out here, and we commuted for a year just to see, you know, is Southern Arizona a place that we want to stay and raise a family, or are we just going to try to get back home? And because we originally just came out here just to get some experience, and it's been 20 years and we never moved home.
Well, we're glad we have you here, and we're glad you haven't left back to Michigan. Wow. What a decision, right? Going from the Canadian border here to Tucson near the Mexican border. So you totally did a 180 there, or a 360. What is it?
A 180.
A 180,
yeah,
right?
We did.
Get that correct. And so you mentioned you started your career out in Babakiri working at Sal's. And what year did you start here at Sunnyside?
We started in 2005, so the commute was really hard. We knew we wanted to stay in the Southwest, but commuting an hour each way was really hard. And so we decided, let's go ahead and apply around Tucson and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And we ended up getting an interview with Mrs. Escarcega at Drexel. Okay. And both my husband and I ended up getting hired by Mrs. E at Drexel. And honestly, the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so... why Sunnyside? Did you apply at other districts and just land here at Sunnyside? Did you live in the area already?
We did not live in the area. So we we didn't know too much about Tucson because we didn't grow up here. So we did apply to various districts, and the timing was just right. I had accepted the position from Mrs. Escarcega, and that afternoon I got a call from a different district that wanted to hire me. And I said, I'm sorry, I already took a job.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we beat them to it. So you have now, what, 18 years here in the district?
18 years in the district. 18 years,
wow. And so talk a little bit about your trajectory, right? Because you mm-hmm. started off as a teacher there, and, mm-hmm. and shout out to Mrs. Escarcega, who
we love, Mrs. was
the principal at Drexel, and had a long career here in SUSD. And so tell us a bit about, you know, your trajectory in terms of your career. You know, started off as a teacher, and then you took on other positions, mm-hmm. and now you're the principal of the Esperanza.
So when Mrs. E hired me, I was a kindergarten teacher that year, and that was a huge learning experience for me. When I worked out in cells, I had been a reading specialist, and I worked with kinder through third grade, but being a kindergarten teacher was a huge eye-opener for me. I was a girl. I took 3 years of Spanish in high school, but I didn't speak Spanish fluently. And the majority of my students only spoke Spanish. And I can say 18 years later, all of the Spanish I learned and I can speak today is because of the kindergarten students at Drexel. I learned from them. They learned from me. It is like one of those years that you look back on that was really difficult, but the most rewarding. So I knew kindergarten wasn't really my cup of tea. and so I asked Mrs. E if I could try a different grade, and she moved me to first grade. I never thought I would leave first grade. There is just something so magical about teaching students how to read, and I loved every minute of it. And so I taught first grade for years. And then I had an opportunity to go to second grade, and I taught second grade there for a couple of years. And then I knew that I wanted to continue to grow. And I do think it's hard to continue to grow within one school, right? It's good mm-hmm. to have a lot of different perspective. And I had the opportunity to be an intermediate teacher at Gallego. And at the time, Gallego was K-6. So I taught fourth grade at Gallego. And then the second year of Gallego is when the school expanded. So then mm-hmm. I moved over to Gallego Intermediate because I was a intermediate teacher of fourth grade. So then I decided, my daughter was older at the time. She had started school. And along the way, I had had opportunities to pursue leadership. But it's just my husband and I here with our daughter. And so I really wanted to invest the time being a mom to her. And I didn't want to seek out leadership opportunities that were being offered at the time. And so when she started school, my time opened up a little bit more, and I had the opportunity to actually go to Challenger to be an instructional coach. I really didn't know too much about middle school, but Mr. Benavides, he believed in me, and he gave me an opportunity to grow. And I grew so much moving to Challenger that year. And the next thing you knew, I was at Mission Manor, serving as an academic behavioral support specialist. And, you know, he really mentored me and pushed me to apply for the principal pool. I was not ready to leave Mission Manor. I loved my job at Mission Manor. It was a great school, a great community. And I just wanted to get into the pool. I'm not a person that interviews well. I get nervous. And so I thought, it's going to take me a few times. And so the next thing you know, the superintendent at the home at the time, Mr. Holmes, called me into the office, and I thought it was going to be a different conversation. And he said I was going to
be in trouble.
I remember getting the email and running to Mr. Huey's office saying, the superintendent's asking me to meet with me today.
It's like he's being called to the principal's office, right?
It makes you nervous. And so, he just said I was going to be named the next principal of Esperanza. And it was just such a whirlwind.
Wow, what a great story. You know, someone coming from Michigan, the northern border, to the southern border, and really just making a beautiful career out of it, starting in teaching, being at, you know, Drexel, Gallego, Challenger, Mission Manor, and now Esperanza. And so, you know, I think we take a lot of pride in growing our own, right? Mm-hmm. And although you didn't grow up here in Tucson, we consider you one of our own, you know. And I always ask the question, like, why Sunnyside? Why this community? And I want to go back to what you said a little bit earlier about that you learned a lot of your Spanish from your students. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. You know, we mm-hmm. have some amazing students, some just very motivated young children that are not fearful of helping someone out, right? Mm-hmm. Not fearful of, you know, teaching others and learning from others. And we see that a lot. I have a, and I probably shouldn't joke about this, but I bring this up a lot. I feel like some of our, sometimes our best ELL support comes from our students, right?
100%.
It comes from our students. And I always say, we got to get them on the payroll because they're doing a lot of the work.
They
you
are.
Know? And then, you know, it's sometimes it's just lack of resources, mm-hmm. lack of support, but, you know, just a big thumbs up to our students who just do it with a great deal of pride. When we visit schools, I often see that. And I mm-hmm. thank those students for helping others out because, you know, being a ELL student myself, I know what that feels like mm-hmm. to be stuck in the classroom, to be sitting in a classroom and not understanding everything that's going on because of a language barrier. And so just wanted to put that out. The other question I have, were you and your husband like a package deal when you came over to Drexel? Or is it,
we weren't a package deal.
Did you say,
maybe I should go down that road now.
Yeah, right? I bet you use that leverage of, I'm not coming unless my husband comes with me, you know, so.
You know what, Mrs. E, at the time she had two openings and it just really worked out for us.
What
and
a coincidence, right? Two yeah. openings and no.
I think so, I'm going to have to negotiate
also,
with you.
Right? I know. Was your husband also at Drexel at the time?
He was. You know, we spent the majority wow. of our career together, which a lot of people find, I think, peculiar and odd, but it's just the way it's been. And, you know, we don't have family here. All of our family's in Michigan. And I think it honestly helped our marriage. And we just grew so strong together wow. because we had only each other to rely on. And just working in the same career path and the same schools, we knew a lot of the same people. We served a lot of the same kids. So my students would then go to second and third grade and right. have Mr. Gottlieber. So. Yeah.
Family affair, right?
Yes.
Family affair. And your daughter, your daughter who serves on Superintendent Student Advisory. She's also a student here in the district. Let's mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about her and you know, in terms of you know, you could have chosen a lot of different school mm-hmm. districts and you've chosen this one. The other thing is, I'm not sure people know this or not, but Ms. Gottlieber lives in the Sunnyside community mm-hmm. as well. Not only serves here but also lives here. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I have to give my daughter a shout out.
Of course.
So hi, Leah. So my daughter has always attended Sunnyside schools since Ocotillo. So we started her right from the beginning, and I cannot say enough about the education that she has received within Sunnyside, and it started in those preschool years. Being educators, we thought we knew everything, but when you're in the midst of it with your child, mm-hmm. you know, they can identify things that we didn't see as parents. And so they helped her so much prepare for kindergarten. She was ready for kindergarten when she entered. Mm-hmm. And I don't know without the help of Ocotillo if she would have gotten there. So she's a great student. She's a student athlete. She loves playing softball. So now that she's in middle school, she loves competing for the district. We've had nothing but a great experience in Sunnyside.
That's awesome. And she's definitely got some of your leadership skills from mom and dad. You know, when we're in student advisory, she never hesitates to take on that marker, take on that, you know, poster paper and start jotting down ideas. And so we definitely love that about her, love her leadership and her willing to participate. And, you know, she's a product of this district, product of this community.
She is. And if I could say, I think sometimes people are really surprised to hear that I live in Sunnyside. So when I'm at the grocery store every once in a while, students will see me and they look and it's like, is that my principal? And I was actually getting a pedicure and one of my students was in the chair across from me and she kept looking at me and looking at me. And I said, it's me. She was like, Mrs. Gottlieber, what are you doing here? And I said, I live right here. Right.
Shocking to them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny to see the reactions of your students, you know, when you're at a grocery store, mm-hmm. at any, you know, when you run into them in the community, they're so used to seeing you in a certain setting.
Yeah.
And in the uniform, if you will, right. Mm-hmm. In terms of wearing your school badge and stuff. And I remember getting giggles from kids when they would see me at the grocery store. I'd be in a, you know, you're in a hat and a t-shirt and
yeah.
chanclas and you're shopping, right? You're
right.
Just getting the groceries and they look at you and they do that double take and they're like, is that him? And they start giggling and laughing and almost like they're embarrassed until you kind of break the ice and tell mm-hmm. them like, yeah, you know, we're human beings. We're educators,
right.
but we're human beings, right? And we, you know, we do just about you know, the normal things you do, right?
You never know when you're going to run into a student. I actually had a wonderful encounter from my days back at Drexel recently. Some of our students at Esperanza participated in the Special Olympics bowling tournament. Nice. And a young man came up to me and he said, "Mrs. Gottlieber, do you remember me?" And mind you, they were 5 and 6 when I knew them. Wow. And now he's a grown adult man. And I said, "I do remember your face." And he said, "Don't you? I was your student at Drexel in first grade." I said, "Oh my gosh, how's your mom?" We talked. And now he's in a role. He's working at Santa Clara. Like, that is so rewarding to see the students that I served now giving back to their community.
Serving the community, right? Serving the district, giving back to those that gave them so much, so many opportunities. And it's neat. It's a special feeling when you run into students, especially, you know, your former students, former graduates. They're mm-hmm. so eager to tell you what they're doing, yes. right? And like you, I always remember the faces, and I've been in this business now for a long time. I can never remember the years, right, in terms of when they graduated, and you know, they're so eager to just say, "Hey, I'm doing this now, and mm-hmm. I'm doing that now, and I'm in this career or that profession." And then you have those that you know, when I used to do discipline as an assistant principal, you have those that. And now I'm behaving. Estoy portando bien, sir. And I'm responsible now. And
yeah.
you know, they're so eager to tell you that they've put it together. And you know, I mean, I think when we think of our teenagers, when we think of our students, they're gonna get it, you know, mm-hmm. and they get it at different times, mm-hmm. right? You know, there's no talk, there's no age when the bell just rings and okay, they've got it, they're grown up, they're mature, they're making good decisions. They just get it at different times, you know, and same for us, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that the light bulb turns on for us at different times, but it's just a, as I said earlier, just a great feeling to see so many of the success stories and seeing so many individuals giving back to the community. Speaking of success stories, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the success that you've had at Esperanza. So how many years now have you been the principal of Esperanza?
This is my 5th year at Esperanza.
So 5th year.
Yeah.
5th year. Wow. Time flies, doesn't it? I remember
it's
when
gone
you
so
were
fast.
Being announced at a board meeting as the new principal of Esperanza. And so, you know, I definitely want to give a shout out to Esperanza as you know, we just received letter grades and you got a strong B. I know you're a few points away from earning an A.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it says a lot about the work, your leadership, and a shout out to the staff there, the teachers, the work they do day in and day out to serve our students. And so just want you to, you know, if you have a few comments
about
that.
Yeah, I do. So really the letter grade and being so close to earning an A is a reflection of the hard work of the staff members and the students. It's really little to do with me. Our teachers work so hard day in and day out to meet all of the needs of our various students. And we have great students and we serve great families. And so we're really proud of that.
So it's definitely a team effort, right? I mean, it's definitely a culture of excellence, a culture of success that a lot of our leaders create on their campuses. And those campuses and those schools that flourish, those ones that are being super successful and going above and beyond, they have special cultures. And that's testament to what you've done over the years that you've been there is to build that success and build that culture. And, you know, I know the leaders hear me say this all the time at a lot of our meetings. And to me, culture is what you allow and what you don't allow, mm-hmm. right? And you know, focusing on this piece that our kids can be successful.
100%.
Our kids can earn these top, you know, achievements, mm-hmm. and our schools can be A schools, and so that's what we're chasing right now. You know, there's definitely a shift in terms of leadership. There's a shift in how we're doing things in our schools, and we're starting to see that. And so I'm super excited about Esperanza and definitely several other schools that are in that position or at that tipping point where they mm-hmm. can really, you know, a few more points and we're right there. We're at that A. Not that we get satisfied or complacent
right.
or comfortable, but you know, the letter grade's nice and, mm-hmm. and we know what's more important is the day to day. What's happening in those classrooms every day, every minute of the day, every second of the day. We know that's more important and the relationships we have with our students and the experiences that they're going home with every day. And so, you know, we hope that our families are noticing the hard work. And just super, super proud of what's going on at Esperanza. So
thank
congratulations.
You. We appreciate that.
So career goals. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, there's principles now, right? And I'm not chasing you away. I'm not saying you got to start thinking about what else you're going to do. But you know, when you think of it's no longer, do you see those principles that are there 15, 20 years in that same position? But just, you know, I mean, you got to, you know, you're an ambitious person. What
it's so interesting because by nature, I'm a person that does not like change. I literally never thought I would leave Mrs. E at Drexel. And when Mrs. E took a district position, that really shook me. I loved working for Mrs. Siskarsica. She created such a great environment, but it taught me change is necessary. And I've had to change schools as I've had different ambitions. I mean, I don't know. Someday I hope to see myself not necessarily in your seat, but definitely serving at a larger capacity, just having more impact.
Well, why not my seat? I'm not going to be here forever. I mean, the lifetime of a superintendent is 2 to 3 years. I hope to do more than 2 to 3 years.
I hope you do too. But I hope you do too. Yeah.
But, you know, we're gonna do all we can to stay put here. And so
if I could say, like, honestly, a big reason that I'm in this seat is because of my dad. My dad was a CFO and he always pushed me. You have to go back to school to get your master's. And he really pushed me to do that. And he's like, You have more. You have more in you. And so now that the master's is achieved, it's always like, are you going to go back to school for your doctorate? And so I don't know what's next in my career path. I really love working at Esperanza. It's a really great, unique school community. It's a neighborhood school. We serve so many families that also attended Esperanza as children. Absolutely. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's not, you know, we don't want to create, you know, any rumors or anything like that. So all you people there at Esperanza, she's not going nowhere. She's returning to Esperanza, but definitely wanted to ask because there is something to say for people that are ambitious, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody should want to get better. Everyone should be looking out for new opportunities. And you know, I think as parents, you know, you're talking about your dad. We all want what's best for the next generation, mm-hmm. right? For our kids, for our grandkids. And we want them to have better experiences than we had. And so we try to pass that on, right? And this is that's something we pass on to our students. That's something that a lot of our parents pass on to their own kids. Mm-hmm. And we have hardworking families in this district and they want what's best. You know, I know my parents did. You know, my parents weren't professionals, but they were hardworking people and they wanted me to get educated and do better than they did. And so, you know, the support is important, right?
That's right.
That support and then the belief that our kids can be successful is also equally important because, you know, sometimes our kids get knocked down by just, you know, comments. Mm-hmm. Comments sometimes what you say and what you do matters, right? Actions That's right. matter. And so, you know, you could easily knock kids down and they could overhear stuff. And so we always got to be careful about what is being said out there. And you know, in terms of positions, I'm a true believer in, you know, you keep moving in that direction. And a lot of it is just, it's a lot of it is timing and fit, right?
Right.
Are you a good fit? Is it the right timing, you know, to move on in your career?
Right.
You know, earlier you talked about making a career change because of your daughter and she was a certain age. Mm-hmm. You were able to go back to school. And so that definitely plays a role. So, you know, it's something that is important to discuss as you know, we have a lot of listeners out there that are thinking about career moves, thinking about what's next, you know, and our advice is continue to be ambitious and we want to hang on to people and we want to continue to grow leadership in this district. And you hear a lot of those stories. There's a lot of leaders that grew up in this system and have just moved up, you know, in different roles and different positions. And so a lot of success stories. And so any other comments from Scott Lieber?
Well, a comment just about what you were saying. There was a time when I was ready to move on that I received a lot of no's. I actually had a lot of interviews and received no's because even though the no was hard to hear at that time, I wasn't the right fit. right? And so I recently had an opportunity to speak to aspiring principals, and I told them this story, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, it's hard to hear, but you have to believe in the timing of everything, because if I would have had one of those earlier, been offered an earlier position, I wouldn't have had all these other learning opportunities that really prepared me for the role of being a principal. Yeah.
And there's a saying out there, and I know I always screw up these sayings, but you know, there's a saying of you have to fail before you can succeed, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have been there, you know, and it's funny, you don't want to make this about me, but believe it or not, when I got my, you know, leadership, my master's in leadership, and started applying for administrative positions, you know, I grew up as a secondary, you know, high school teacher, and did a lot of my work in the secondary schools, middle and high. And the first job I applied for in terms of a principal was an elementary position.
Wow.
And needless to say, I didn't get it. I mean, I got turned away a couple times, but it was just the experience, right, of being eager to land a position, eager to take on a leadership position, and getting your name out there, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't know of you until you've actually had an interview.
Right.
And, you know, you share a lot about yourself in an interview, and they learn things about you. And so that's something that, you know, it's a good, definitely some good advice for those that are on that track right now, those that are thinking of moving up, moving forward, and getting their leadership degree. And, you know, we definitely want to hang on to them here in Sunnyside.
Absolutely.
So, just, you know, as we wrap up here, I just want to thank you, Ms. Gottlieber, for coming on the show today, and really just talking about your experiences and for our listeners to hear. And you know, we want you to continue to do some great work. We know you're going to continue to do great work
here
in the district. And, you know, you got a bright future in terms of your career. And I'm sure you're going to have many, many options. And we hope to keep you here in Sunnyside. And so any last minute comments, any last minute shout outs to individuals out there?
I mean, of course, I have to give a shout out to my students at Esperanza. So hi, everybody. I just want to say again, what a wonderful community that I'm lucky to serve every day at Esperanza. It's so unique. We have such a great staff, and our students are awesome. And I'm glad to be there every day with them. So thank you for having me. I love being part of the Sunnyside community. In a million years, I would have never pictured my life path in Tucson, Arizona, right? And now I'm able to, I don't speak Spanish fluently. I don't want to like mislead anybody, but I can get by. And so it's just been such a great opportunity to live and work in this community. There's nothing like Sunnyside out there.
I agree with you. And I think you got like a nice little storyline there. Maybe you're going to have to write some sort of book, you know, in terms of moving from the northern border to here to Tucson and talking about your career. I mean, it's quite a story when you think about just getting up and leaving Michigan for Arizona. I'm sure the weather was an easy adjustment for you. Maybe not in the summer so much, but the wintertime, right? You don't have to shovel snow out of your driveway to get to your car and
Absolutely.
Stuff. So we want to thank you once again. I mean, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm sure our listeners learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners have a bunch of questions for us. We want to encourage our listeners to give us advice on the show, give us some feedback on the show. And that wraps up another episode of Somos Sunnyside. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it entertaining. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and share our podcast with La Comunidad. For updates on future episodes and more, be sure to follow us on social media and visit our website at susd12.org. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back for the next episode. Hasta la próxima vez en Somos Sunnyside.